20 through 21. We're hearing about the Virgin Gopis' ecstatic remembrance of Krishna, born of their deep
missing him,
born of their deep desire to be with him. So first, one has to have a strong desire to be with Krishna, and then when one is not with Krishna, one will feel separation. If one only wants to feel separation without wanting to be with Krishna, it's going to be very difficult. Because obviously separation is born out of the desire to be with Krishna. So the gopis, this is their only desire.
Why?
Because of why? Yeah.
It's just natural when you have love for someone, you want to be with them.
When you have love for someone, you don't want to be separate from them. But when you want to be with them and you are separate from them, then the feeling of separation occurs. And this love was so intense, they had no other desire than to be with him. And that being to him was with the desire to please him. Because that is also the nature of love. Love has, there are two components. There is the beloved, the object of love, which is called in Sanskrit the vishaya, and then there is the shelter of that love, the ashraya, the one who himself possesses, or herself in this case possesses that love. So there's the shelter of the love, or where the love has taken shelter, and then there's the object of love. And then, as described in Nectar Devotion, Bhakti Sandhya Sindhu, there is the stimulant of love. And that is called the udipans, the things that stimulate the affection. And what are the which stimulates the affection for Krishna? There's sometimes there's the sound of the flute, and that's what's happening now. They're hearing the sound of Krishna's flute, and that is stimulating their love for Krishna, because it's stimulating remembrance of him, and especially in this case, because Krishna's flute is Krishna. So being in the presence of Krishna and the sound of his flute stimulates, increases their desire. So here, another one about Pada Yasoda. Also, because in the last one, in the last verse, Krishna was calling the cows to come back. And and you're calling them by their names according to the different colors and to the different groups of, in the different colors there were different subgroups too. So there were 108 groups in Krishna. You could count the different groups of cows. He would call them and count them on his beads, his jeweled beads. Dhruv. Dhruv. So, and he would be, he had his arm thrown over the shoulder of an affectionate cowboy boyfriend, and Krishna's playing his flute and singing, and the deer come, and they just sit down next to Krishna. And again, the gopis are seeing their own mood in the mood of everything. This is natural. We cannot separate our consciousness from what we see. Basically, in one sense, in a real sense, we only see our own minds, because there's so much stimulus that comes in through the retina, through our eyes, and it's the mind's business to conceptualize what it is. Good, bad, table, desk, book, microphone, glasses, so many different concepts we have. So this is the job of the mind, to place the different stimulus into different conceptual categories. So sometimes we get them in the right category, and sometimes we get them in the wrong category, the stimulus. Just like sometimes we see, it's dark at night, and we see a form that looks like this, and we think it is A, and it turns out to be A. So when the mind is interpreting the stimulus and placed it in the category of something that it isn't. And sometimes, and this is according to the training of the mind, too. Because sometimes we place something in the category of good that's actually bad, because the mind is thinking that it's bad, but actually it's good. And conversely, sometimes we place something in the category of bad that is actually good. Did I just say that, or did I say the other one? I said no, the other one. Okay, so sometimes we get it confused. What's between good and bad? Too confused. And actually, what mind of nature does Krishna say in the Bible when you can't tell the difference between good and bad? Passion. Ignorance is you get it wrong. What's good you think is bad, and what's bad you think is good. Goodness, your vision is proper. You see things from the proper perspective. And passion, you can't tell the difference, what's good and what's good, what's bad. And in ignorance, you get it wrong. What's bad you think is good, and what's good you think is bad. What do you think about that one? Is that between you? Huh?
Because.
That's good.
So.
So. O sinless Yashoda, my darling child. Now, what, the gopis are back with Mother Yashoda, who's also a gopi. O sinless Yashoda, and we'll explain why in a moment. Your darling child, the son of Maharaj Nanda, has festively enhanced his attire with a jasmine garland, and he is now playing along the Yamuna in the company of the cows and the cowherd boys, amusing his dear companions. The gentle breeze honors him with its soothing fragrance of sandalwood. It's very beautiful, very beautiful scene. While the various upadevas, standing on all sides like panegyrists, with this prayer givers, offer their upadevas in the minor demigods. They offer their music, singing, and gifts of tribute. So first again is the description of Krishna, and then after that is description of his activity and the effect of his activity on others. So Yoda Dhalan Chad, why the gopis again with Mother Yasoda? The son of your darling child, the son of Maharaj Nanda. When Krishna is angry, what does he say, Sri Radharaman, to his mother? When he's hungry, he says that. Maybe. He says, I'm going to tell everyone that I am the son of Nanda Maharaj, but I am not the son of Mother Yasoda. So your darling child, the son of Maharaj Nanda, has festively enhanced his attire. So what image does festively mean? Decorated. What kind of decorations?
Gold.
Colors. You can't have a festival in Manipur. It has to be many, many, many colors. So Krishna has enhanced his attire with jasmine garlands. What color are the jasmine? Sometimes they're white, sometimes they're red and white. Those are the only colors that I know. Huh?
Yellow too.
Yeah? Yeah, that's right. Yellow jasmine. So how beautiful. And Krishna's already dressed in such a wonderful way with his dramatic actor or as a wrestler. And he's got his yellow dhoti that's brilliant like lightning. He's got his sash and his peacock feather on his head and a crown and a chadar uttariya. And he's got his face is painted with different colors and flowers. He's got flower earrings. Sometimes he has a flower only on one ear. And then he has this beautiful jasmine garland. He's already wearing other garlands. Sometimes they come down to his knees. So now he's festively enhanced his attire with the jasmine garland, and he's now playing along the Yamuna in the company of the cows and the cowherd boys. He's amusing his dear companions with joking words and playing his flute and games and teasing this one and teasing that one. And then as that's happening, there's a gentle breeze that's honoring Krishna with the soothing fragrance of sandalwood. Because everything wants to please Krishna and Vrindavan. And all the various upadevas standing on all sides like prayer offerers, panegyrists, offer their music, singing, and gifts of tribute. So they're offering praise. And they're contributing. This is what they have. The vines offer their, and trees offer their flowers and fruits, and the bees offer their sound and their honey. And the trees offer this, and the birds offer that, and the peacocks dance. Everyone offers what they can. And the upadevas, the minor, the almost devas, not quite demigods, but near demigods, they offer this music, singing, and gifts of tribute and other gifts. Purport. Srila Jiva Goswami explains that the gopis are again in the courtyard of Mother Yasoda, the queen of Braja. Now, what are the gopis doing there again? They're trying to encourage her by describing Krishna's return to Vrindavan after he has spent the day herding cows and playing. Why are they trying to encourage her? Because she's missing him too much and he's not back yet. And don't worry, he's going to be back soon. And they're also missing him. See, the Vishwanath Chakravarti comments that the Ubadevas, the minor demigods mentioned here, including the Gandharvas, who are famous for their celestial music and dancing. So they're saying, don't worry. And this is described in other books by the Goswamis, how when Krishna is coming back, the various demigods come down and they offer their obeisances and they offer prayers to him. And this is what keeps Krishna, keeps Krishna from coming back on time. So Krishna allows the demigods to offer their prayers, but this is causing great anxiety to everyone in the village of Vrindavan who is just waiting for sight of Krishna. And the cowherd boys, how do they feel when the demigods Upadevitas are offering their prayers.
Huh?
So boring. You know, they're sitting around offering prayers all the time. When are we going to have some fun? And they're just going, oh, how long is this going to go on for? And sometimes they imitate them after they're gone. They teach them and make fun of them by imitating them and make caricatures of the demigods. Because they're superior, actually. But they're just acting like boys.
They're just like a little child in the Bhagavatam class.
So they're encouraging her. Just say, don't worry. The reason why, because she's worried, because again, the nature of prema is chinta, or anxiety for the beloved. So maybe something's happened to her mother. So is just worried. You know, what's happened to Krishna? Maybe every day some demon or another's been killed. Maybe sometime when Asura has come and given Krishna trouble. And that maybe he's hurt him and she's in complete anxiety. And the gopis come and encourage her. Oh no, he's going to be back soon. The upadevatas are just singing to him and playing music or offering prayers or something like that. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has a... see if we can read his full comment. When the gopis assembled, O sinless Yasoda, everything has a meaning. So, O sinless Yasoda, because just see the concept. This is how that's begun. They say to her, O sinless Yasoda, your darling child, the son of Marasandha, has festively enhanced. But why do they call her sinless like that? Because the concept, they were completely convinced that trouble happens to someone because
you've
done something wrong. And because you're sinless, oh Mother Yasoda, you have not done anything wrong ever. And therefore nothing could happen to your boy, Krishna, the son of Nandavas. So don't worry. Now today we have a different attitude. When something happens to us, it's because there's two reasons. Either we have victimology, we're suffering from a bad case of victim disease, where everyone has done this to me, and I'm just completely innocent as usual, and this bad thing has happened because there's a great conspiracy in the universe against me, even though I'm such a nice person, and I never do anything wrong. That's one. That's victim disease. And the other one is, I'm so bad. Oh, I deserve everything. Oh, I'm so bad. 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 Bad. Just thinking about how bad one is all the time. This is not called humility. This is called low self-esteem. Another kind of Kali Yuga disease. And as we're hearing Sahasramar say, of course we feel bad about who we are because we don't know who we are. So we're trying to be who we're not. And therefore we don't feel secure being who we're not. So therefore we feel bad because we're not who we think we are, as opposed to being who we're not, which is the same, just not being who we are. So when we're in that kind of condition, of course we're confused. So the conclusion in that is, so that type of low self-esteem and always thinking about how bad we are goes away when we find out who we are. And then when we are who we are, instead of when we are who we're not, or we're not who we are, it's much better to be who we are, which is, and who are we? We're Christian servants.
So if we just give ourselves to Krishna and thinking, how can I serve you, Krishna, in this circumstance? I have a particular faith due to things that I've done in the past. I have a particular faith, and there's a mixture of good and bad in it, because everyone in the world has a mixture of good fortune and bad fortune, and because everyone has usually have done good things and bad things in the past. So everyone has a mixture of fate. Someone has a little more good karma on this side. Someone has a little more bad karma on that side. But everyone is this mixture. And wherever I am, let me serve you, because I am your servant. So when we accept our misfortunes as products of our previous improper activities, and we accept our fortune as Krishna's mercy, as he's taken care of us, and we give ourselves in his service, then we know who we are. And then we have confidence, because once we think of ourselves as Krishna's, then we naturally, placing ourselves under Krishna's protection, accept that he's going to take care of us, because we're serving him. And a great confidence comes to the soul when we accept ourselves as servants.
Okay. So. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, to explain that about when the gopis assembled at Mother Yasoda's house in the afternoon, they saw that she was so disturbed over Krishna's late return, so they pacified Yasoda by telling her the reason for Krishna's delay. They said, after bathing in the Yamuna to relieve his fatigue, Krishna sat down on the bank and dressed in a festive way to please his cowherd boyfriends, who were eagerly waiting to meet him. A gentle breeze blew to refresh Krishna as he played in the water with his foot. To gladden his friends, Krishna told jokes, and he listened to their jokes. Sounds like fun. O sinless Yasoda, you never committed any sins previously or in this life, by which danger could come to your son. Why do you, who are endowed with the most spotless fame, Yasoda, uselessly, that's the meaning of Yasoda, right? Uselessly worry about danger from demons if Krishna's a little late. He is the son of Nanda, who is famous as the crest jewel of all pious men, and he is your darling son, your vatsa, your object of affection. We see that children fall into danger only when the parents have bad karma. Therefore, no danger can befall your son. Listen as we tell you the reason for Krishna's being late, as we have heard it from his friends. The wind, which has acquired its fine fragrance and coolness by touching the sandalwood trees growing on the Malaya Hill, is blowing very pleasantly to honor your son. And the Upadevatas, like the Gandharvas, who are famous for their celestial music and dancing, they have surrounded Krishna, and they are worshipping him by playing musical instruments and praising his qualities. And in order to acknowledge them, Krishna is delaying a bit according to the logic that those of quality delight in seeing persons with good qualities. Therefore, there is no need to worry about your son. Actually, it is your great fortune that the Upadevas are honoring your son in this manner.
And what do you think about that?
Later, I'm going to have to mother his children. Worried all the time.
Why?
She loved him.
It's her nature. She didn't want to actually send him out all alone anyway. You're saying you're the son of the king. We have so many people and servants who can go out and herd the cows. And what did Krishna say?
I want to go and be on that boat.
I'm going to go anyway. He did say that sometimes.
Then he went through his uncles and
in politics.
Word on his behalf.
But my dear son, the ground is very, the ground of, there's rocks and thorns and soft husks of the spike grains growing and things like that. And Krishna said, I'll be careful. And then she said, you'll be careful, but you're following the cows, and the cows have hoofs that are hard, and they don't feel the pain of the thorns and the rocks and everything. You follow them. You have to follow them. And Krishna said, Madhusudana said, why don't you wear some shoes?
Heaven forbid.
Huh?
Heaven forbid. The cows aren't wearing shoes.
Yeah.
If the cows wear shoes, then I'll wear shoes. This is our dharma.
Yeah. And anyway, the dust of Braj has becomes very soft everywhere I walk. And indeed it does.
Why do the young girls speak to Yasoda and Nandababa using their names? Because wouldn't they, in honorific respect, the way Rati says?
Kundadama Krita Kuntukaveso Gopagodana Vito Yumunayam Nandasuno Anadi Tavavatso. So they don't call Yasoda Yasoda. And they don't call Nanda Nanda, but they call Krishna the son of Nanda Maharaj. And Yashoda, they call him, what do they actually call him?
Yashoda. There's no name. Sometimes it's just an English brought through from another verse.
Oh, they actually call her. They call it sinless one. But also, what is this? He's coming to his friends. Their desire is this. They call it Devaki, because that was one of the Asota's names. Devaki. But somehow or another, when they do things, they don't break etiquette. They can't break etiquette because they're
young girls.
They're young girls, and also they're so cultured, actually. Even though they're from a covert community, they're so cultured because the culture is so strong.
What do you think they should call her?
Oh, Ma.
Ma or
Maya.
Mother of Kanaya.
Very well. See, they love each other so much that there are no formalities in this. When you are close to someone, then you can address them like that also, by name also.
Okay, so let's ask the villagers here. When you were young, when you went to the village, the lady next to her with the cows, did you call her by her name? What did you call her? Uncle, auntie.
Kaki,
yeah, auntie.
In the villages, it was the situation. Everybody is uncle.
Yeah.
Mossy is mother's sister. Auntie is uncle's wife.
You know. Uncle's wife, yeah, auntie. It's also like that in English. Auntie.
Maternal,
very confusing sometimes. if you're not from that place. Even in when we were in Bangladesh, all the Brahmacharis used to call me Kaka, uncle. But now everyone calls me grandfather. They call me Dalu. I'm starting to get that now. Rupa.
Do you have a question?
Yeah, I do. Gopis are speaking here, describing the Rupa Devas, presence of the Rupa Devas. Is that just a part of life?
You know, they actually seeing them, or
Or are they, you know how you say about your son, so you know, giving the prime minister would like to meet your son, and you know, all the people on the street are all running out to see him because he's so great. Is they sort of like trying to pacify her by creating something kind of wonderful to say about Krishna? I guess I'd say, you know,
but it is said in other places that the demigods do come down every day. Every day when Krishna's coming back, they come down to offer him respects, because and also before they were appreciating his music that he was playing and everything. They,
everyone's there.
But they come down. It describes in other books how they actually come down, and that Krishna stands there and cowboys becoming restless, because every day the demigods have to come, you know, and offer Krishna prayers. And Krishna was just joking with them, you know, the boys, and he's dressing them, making, and that's what boys like to do. They like to joke and play. And Krishna had his foot, and this is, that seems like it's Krishna's reciprocation with the Yamuna River. He put his foot in the Yamuna. He's touching it. There's a picture like that, isn't there? Maybe something else.
Okay. Here's the final of the couplets. As Krishna respectfully greets his well-wishing friends, his eyes roll slightly, as if from intoxication. He wears a flower garland, and the beauty of his soft cheeks is accentuated by the brilliance of his golden earrings and the whiteness of his face, which has the color of budding lilies, berries. Of a bundi. Bundi is a more. It's a white. With his cheerful face resembling the moon, the Lord of Night, the Lord of the Yadus, moves with the grace of a regal elephant. Thus he returns in the evening, delivering the cows of Braja from the heat of the day. So, first again, there's the description of him. As Krishna respectfully greets his well-wishing friends, his eyes roll slightly as if from intoxication. He wears a flower garland, and the beauty of his soft cheeks is accentuated by the brilliance of his golden earrings and the whiteness of his face, which has the color of a badri belly, berry. With his cheerful face resembling the moon, the Lord of Night, the Lord of the Yadus moves with the grace of a regal elephant. Thus he returns in the evening, delivering the cows of Braja from the heat of the day. The word gavam is constructed from the Sanskrit word go, which means cow or sentience. Thus Sri Krishna, by coming back to the village of Braja, he would relieve the inhabitants of Vrindavan from the distress their eyes and other senses felt during the day because of being separate from direct contact with him.
Because go means senses and cows. So you relieve the cows from their distress, and you also relieve the senses of the people in Vrindavan from the distress, because their eyes couldn't see him, their ears couldn't hear him, their nose could not smell his fragrance, and the sense of touch could not touch him. And there's one other, isn't there? He just couldn't hear.
So the senses were all longing to combine with Krishna.
And then let's see if Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has a comment. In this verse, the Gopis say, please hear the reason. But even now, as Krishna reaches the outskirts of the town, he's a little delayed. Because every moment for them is so long. Yugayitam, the Meshena, the blinking of an eye is like yuga. So before they were consoling Yashoda, because Yashoda Ma was in anxiety. But now they're in so much distress because after one delay, there's another one. So why is she so delayed? Please hear the reason why even now, as Krishna reaches the outskirts of the town, he's a little delayed. Krishna's eyes are rolling about in intoxication due to the bliss of seeing his father and other loved ones, or due to the love generated from seeing his beloved gopis. The first meaning is for those in the mood of parental affection, vatsalya rasa, and the second meaning is for those in the mood of conjugal love, madhurya rasa. This will be understood from a later description. The gopis say, to his own well wishes, svasuridam, such as his family, priests, maternal grandparents, brothers, servants, and bhikkhu parents, who each greeting Krishna and giving benedictions according to his position. Krishna shows only slight respect by nodding his head, since though a prince, he is still young and not obliged to strictly follow the etiquette according to scriptural rules. That is another reason for his delay. The phrase suridam, well wishes, can also refer to Krishna's beloved girlfriends who climbed up the watchtowers to worship him with the blue lotuses of their smiling sidelong glances. Unseen by others, Krishna honored the gopis with sidelong glances signifying that he would soon fulfill their desires. Krishna's face was slightly flushed like a ripe madri fruit. That's because the madri fruit is it's greenish, but then as it approaches getting ripe, it turns reddish. It starts turning reddish. So they have madri fruit in your village. They have them in Vrindavan. So just around Gopurnima time, holy, they start becoming red. They're a little yellow, then they turn green, and then they stay green, but they turn reddish. So Krishna's face was slightly flushed, like a ripe madri fruit, due to thirst, hunger, and fatigue from wandering in the forest. But Krishna's face was flushed due to experiencing prolonged separation from his dear gopis. This is an anubhav, a symptom of ecstasy. His tender cheeks were illuminated with the effulgence of his tender golden earrings. Krishna is addressed here as the Lord of the Yadus, Yadupati, which here means Lord of the Cowherd Men. Previously in chapter 5, verse 20, it was explained that the cowherds are Yadavas. Krishna walks slowly like the king of the elephants. The word Gavam refers to cows or senses. Thus, as Krishna, his face blossoming with joy, came closer, he relieved the inhabitants of Vrindavan from the distress their eyes and other senses felt in separation from him during the day. And then the final verse. Srila Sukadeva Goswami said, O King, thus during the daytime the women of Vrindavan took pleasure in continually singing about the pastimes of Krishna, and those ladies' minds and hearts absorbed in him were filled with great festivity. Because they were always talking, thinking, speaking about Krishna. Singing about Krishna. This verse confirms that the subtle pain of the heartbroken gopis is actually a great spiritual bliss. Mahodaya. Tan manaksha mahodaya. Udaya means experiencing an uprising of a festival. Mahakrit. Because manaska, their minds were absorbed in him. Their hearts, that chitta, their hearts and minds were fully absorbed.
and therefore they're experiencing the great festival of bliss. So this is the goal of Krishna consciousness, to have our minds and our hearts fully absorbed and only absorbed in Krishna, whatever else we may be doing, but always absorbed in Krishna, thoughts of Krishna. On the material platform, pain is pain, period. But on the spiritual platform, so-called pain is simply a different variety of spiritual ecstasy. In the Western countries, people take pleasure in mixing different flavors of ice cream. Uh-oh, we said that word, it's obzub, isn't it? To produce wonderful combinations of flavor. Similarly, on the spiritual platform, Sri Krishna and his devotees expertly mixed the flavors of spiritual bliss. Thus, every day was a treat for the gopis. My dear King Cricket, the gopis' minds, tat manaska, were absorbed in Krishna, and Krishna's mind was absorbed in them. Therefore, since Krishna and his beloved gopis shared both roles of being the object of Sraya and the subject of love, Vishaya, they concentrated their minds on each other. Thus, because they continually relish each other at every moment, both in separation and meeting through their minds, it is said in this verse the gopis enjoyed the separation during the day. Because in that, they were experiencing this. Prema has two states, union and separation. Though the person absorbed in Krishna appears to be suffering when he is separated from Krishna, actually, he is internally relishing the highest state of bliss. On the spiritual platform, the so-called pain of separation is simply a different variety of transcendental ecstasy. This pure love of God is the crown jewel of all goals of human endeavor. That ends the comments of the Srila Chakravarti Thakur. In this chapter, Srila Prabhupada in the Krishna book has said, another gopi told Mother Yasoda, "My dear mother, when your son returns home, he decorates himself with the buds of the kunda flower, and just to enlighten and gladden his friends, he blows his flute. The breeze blowing from the south creates a pleasing atmosphere because it is fragrant and very cool. Many demigods, like the Gandharvas and Siddhas, take advantage of this atmosphere and offer prayers to your son by sounding their bugles and drums. This is very kind to the inhabitants of Brajabhumi and Vrindavan, and when he returns with his cows and friends, he is remembered as the lifter of Govardhana Hill. And taking advantage of this opportunity, the most exalted demigods, like Lord Brahma and Shiva, come down to offer their evening prayers, and they accompany the cowherd boys in glorifying the qualities of Krishna. Krishna is compared to the moon, born in the ocean in the womb of Devaki. And when he returns in the evening, it appears that he is fatigued, but still he tries to gladden the inhabitants of Vrindavan by his auspicious presence. When Krishna returns, garlanded with flowers, his face looks beautiful. Adorned with golden earrings, he walks into Vrindavan with a stride just like an elephant and slowly enters his home. Upon his return, the men, women, and cows of Vrindavan immediately forget the scorching heat of the day." Such descriptions of Krishna's transcendental pastimes and activities were remembered by the gopis during his absence from Vrindavan. They give us some idea of how attractive Krishna is, not only to human beings, but also to animate and inanimate objects. In Vrindavan, the trees, the plants, the water, the animals like the deers and cows, and the moose. Everybody and everything is attracted to that is the perfect description of Krishna's attraction, that everything and everybody is attracted to. The example of the gopis is very instructive to persons who are trying to be absorbed in Krishna consciousness. One can very easily associate with Krishna simply by remembering his transcendental pastimes. Everyone has a tendency to love someone,
But Krishna should be the object of love, is the central point of the of Krishna consciousness. By constantly chanting the Hare Krishna mantra and remembering the transcendental pastimes of Krishna, one can be fully in Krishna consciousness and thus make his life sublime and fruitful. So what does sublime mean? Make one's life sublime? What does that mean?
Pleasant.
Huh?
Pleasant, peaceful.
No, more than that.
Phenomenal.
Huh? Sublime means... Yeah, something like that. Say hi. More than pleasant. And fruitful means?
Full of fruit.
Oh, what's the fruit of one's life? Krishna prema. So how to get the fruit of one's life of Krishna prema? By constantly chanting the Hare Krishna mantra and remembering the transcendental pastimes of Krishna. One can be fully Krishna conscious. Prabhupada, he says, one can very easily associate with Krishna simply by remembering his transcendental pastimes. Everyone has a tendency to love someone, and Krishna should be the object of love as the central point of Krishna consciousness. By constantly chanting the Hare Krishna mantra and remembering the transcendental pastimes of Krishna, one can be fully in Krishna consciousness and thus make his life sublime and fruitful. This is very good. What do you think of that? Who said that? It sounds better than an empty well. What's in an empty well?
Nothing.
Frogs and snakes. How did we fall in this empty well? But it's not over yet. Because Krishna was there in the village. And Sukadev Goswami said, the demon, whose name was Arista, then came to the Calvary village. Appearing in the form of a bull with a large hump, he made the earth tremble as he tore it apart with his hoofs. Just as we all thought that everything was going to be peaceful and nice, suddenly, a demon whose name was Arista entered. According to Vishnu Purana, Arista's sword entered Krishna's village at twilight as the Lord prepared to dance with the gopis. Both Shadei Kamakshet too, Rasa Sakte Janardane, Chasayan Samado Goshtam, Arista Samupabhidaha. Once, midway through the period of dusk, when Lord Janardhan was eager to perform the rasa dance, Arista saw a man enter the cowherd village, terrifying everyone. He bellowed harshly, and with his hoofs, he pawed at the ground. And with his tail raised, and with his eyes glaring, he began to tear up the embankment with the tips of his horns. Every now and then, he passed a little stool and urine.
That's a bull too, right? They just have the tail a little bit.
If he was really a bull, it would have been auspicious, because that's also useful. But he wasn't actually a bull. He was a demon. My dear king, clouds hovered about sharp torn against the sun's hump, mistaking it for a mountain. And when the cowherd and the ladies caught sight of the demon, they were struck with terror. Indeed, the strident reverberations of his roar so frightened the pregnant cows and women that they lost their fetuses and miscarriages. What to do in such a circumstance? The domestic animals fled the pasture in fear of him, and all the inhabitants rushed to Lord Govinda for shelter, and they were crying, Krishna, 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 Krishavam, Govindam, Saranam, Jayu. They went to Govinda and took full shelter of him. They went to Govinda. Sava, all went to Govinda. Saranam, Jayu. They went to Govinda for shelter. Krishna, Krishna, Iti. Krishna, Krishna, they were crying. They, all the inhabitants of Vrindavan. Tasava, the domestic animals. Dudruva, they ran away. Bita, because they were afraid, O king. Santyagja, they abandoned the Gokulam, the pastures. And all the inhabitants ran to Krishna, saying, Govinda, saying, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. I wonder what will happen. Vistasura, the name, he may demolish all the villages and it was so horrendous.
Interesting,
we're all terrified and you find it interesting.
Right after we were all feeling sublime and fruitful, we have to deal with something very negative. A big demon.
A big demon in the form of a bull.
I wonder what happened.
Yes. Because There's all, Krishna arranges so many varieties for his devotees so that they can think about him. If there were no pastimes, how would we think about him? And this is his great mercy.
Simultaneously, if there were no demons in our lives, how would we think of him?
Was that
no problems and difficulties, how would we think of him?
I wouldn't know. I don't remember. I don't experience the situation of it.
Is there a place where these demons take these things? What does a demon want to become a bull or a calf or a horse or something? Or a duck?
What was the other one?
Why does a demon someone think of a tower and go out and attack the residents of Vrindavan as a big duck? What's the thought process?
Well, we know some of them. We know Vatasura's thought process. The Kamsa found out that Krishna was very attached to cabs. So he came in specifically in the form of, because he was trying to be in disguise so he could get close, so he could do his work. Similarly, Palambasura, before he went to the boys, he went into a cowherd boy's house and took clothes so he would dress himself like a cowherd boy. Vayamasura had a plan. And Trinavarta had a plan, and also Sakratasura had a plan, and Putam had a plan. Putam's form was not like a beautiful actual form. She was afraid. She was afraid of the warriors of protecting Nandamaraj's village because they had Narayan arrows. So she disguised herself in such a way that everyone became bewildered and confused. Now, as far as coming like a bull or the next chapter, a horse. But maybe. What would you think is a better form to come in? Just curiously.
Well, because he like it was like Kurukshetra, you had here. Galakashi, he fought his own kind of weapon.
Yeah. But you see, they have to come in some form. So the forms that they use in the movies today, you know, for the demons, are very creative, but they're absurd. You know, they have to do something. They have to make them a form of something. So they have to make, you know, they're not.
Like what? What's a creative absurd form in the movie?
Oh. King Kong? There we go. No, not King Kong. That was Vidvita Gorilla.
Spider-Man?
Huh?
Spider-Man?
No, he's a good guy, Spider-Man. They come, but you see them.
Well, there you have it. You know, I mean, I don't know how to describe it. The thought of a man like Spider evolving, and I wouldn't think that they would be good guys.
Well,
you made him up.
Somewhat marvelous. But what they do is they make, I don't know, because I don't watch it. They make, you know, they don't need to make something strange and peculiar. So they, you know, they make people with different color, you know, points on their bodies, and you know, give them an extra eye somewhere or something like that, or a disengaged eye or something. You have to do something. Has to look like something.
Pointy spike on the head,
isn't it? Yeah, that's, you do things like that, pointy spikes. So he had two pointed spikes on his head in the form of his horns.
Fair enough.
Chandrasekhar said that anything you can conceive of is possible.
That's frightening. Isn't it shaky? Could you conceive of sitting in the most wonderful place and chanting Krishna's names with great devotion and rolling in the dust of that wonderful place and praying to Krishna to please allow us to love him? That's wonderful. Anything you can conceive of is possible.
Interesting, isn't it?
Could
be taken extremely positively.
Yeah, no more depression anymore.
Oh, see, it's gone just like that. Conceive of happy cheeky. It's possible.
Theoretically, it is possible.
Possible with the mystic powers, they have to assume some sort of form already exists. They can't just.
Well, that's what the people create computer games, video games. They conceive of forms that don't exist, but they have to conceive of them, of ports that, you know, they just take things that do exist and stick them together in odd ways.
They cause a man, a wolf, and a werewolf.
You can conceive of it as possible.
Can you imagine, no? This is the imagination. You have to create something with this
flexible.
Big ears.
You know, yes, sometimes the big ears. That's what Dr. Kutch said, big ears, right?
Yeah.
So.
I guess also it's a rural, the countryside thing. It's a village. Not like a battlefield, and they seem to come in the form of animals, and the animals are all visible within the village, but these are just like the snakes and ducks and horses and bulls and calves. There's marine storms and beautiful ladies. And they have mystic powers, so it's like they can come in any form they want. It's not like this is their
essence, but conceive
of something,
and
try very hard.
And only Sukhata showed, he tried to go the formless route. And he just adopted the form of a cart and entered within it. When I ask these kind of questions, why did it happen to this way, then naturally I'm learning to ask, well, what's your recommendation? If you don't like to come as bulls, what would you say they should come as?
Actually,
you came as a donkey.
You came as a donkey. All the creatures on my desire, all on my desire, have well going to be a donkey.
What would you suggest he would have picked?
Tiger.
There's no tigers.
But he didn't even come as a donkey. He was living there like he was a donkey. Living there for ages before him.
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't disguise himself as a donkey. He was a donkey.
And there's a whole story in the Bhagavad Gita of how he became him. He became in that form too.
He was cursed to have it.
I don't remember.
He wasn't chose that form to.
Many, there's a story for all of them actually. Why they were cursed and they cursed him as well.
But if they came with funny shapes with different horns and stuff, like, they do that too. That Murugan leader, he had three heads or five heads or something like that. And you know, they do that too. But here in Brazil, they seem to want to be more ecological or something. You know, pretty much of the agrarian type humans.
They seem to fit in better with the surroundings.
Yeah.
More regal sort of demons.
So maybe it's a little bit of beneath somebody like Ravana to kind of attack a village, you know what I mean? It's a village.
No, someone like Ravana would never take the form of like a horse or a donkey or something like that.
Normally attack a village, it's too inconsequential.
Well, if he was going to adopt the form, he would adopt the form of like a sannyasi or something. Ah. And Indra did something like that too.
Another particular thing that Krishna's doing is you're questioning how he's choosing to live. Because they're instrumental participants in his doing.
He's wonderful.
I think also that, like, as much as you can't, we can't conceive of what it is to have the devas. You know, we can't understand the form and the vision that of what that is. Every day, making music or reciting prayers, qualification of Krishna. What picture comes to your mind? We don't know what that is. We don't actually know what it is. We can't just say donkey, and that's what it is, or bull.
When the Calvin boys, this is in chapter 15, they're trying to get Krishna and Balaram to kill these demons. So they go to them and say, there's a forest nearby. It's filled with tall fruits. Can you smell them? They're so sweet. We're so hungry, Krishna. The problem is that there are some demons there. And because of the presence of these demons, no one can eat these tall fruits. And you know what form they're in? They're in the form of donkeys. And they're so powerful. And Krishna began to laugh. Donkeys, so powerful. Hear that, Balaram? Donkeys, they're so powerful. They actually laughed. let Balaram forward. Because Balaram hadn't killed any demons yet. Krishna had killed already so many. So Balaram went forward. And the cowboys, they were right by them. So yeah, we're going to show these demons in the form of monkeys. So Balaram immediately grabbed one big tree like this and began to shake it. And then the dolphins began to fall. And the demon, Dinukasan, took that. This is a challenge.
It is with a taste, like, the taste of Krishna guitar, but the people don't have that taste, then they, like, I was walking past Angus and Rolson's today, and there's a whole rack of vampire books. Vampires are really popular at the moment. I couldn't believe how many vampire books there were.
But the ghastly
Russians, they get perverted within the vampire books, or zombies are also very popular.
Yeah, also very
popular here.
So vampires are pretty high up.
They're very popular.
Ghastly Russians.
Yeah. The difference is that Krishna is not the center. Yeah. Rasa only turns into rasa in the spiritual sense when there's involved some relationship with Krishna.
There's nothing else going on here other than a reflection of what's going on here.
Yeah.
So people are looking and interested in the same thing.
Zombies the album are really popular. Like my mum said when I was with my brother, he said, "I pretend you're a zombie," and you know, it's not my son, my nephew. Like a guy saw him pretend you're a zombie.
I pretend like everyone's already into it. Jai Jai Shri Radhe Shyam, Jai Shri Vrindavan Dham. Who will win this fight? I wish this was already causing so much trouble in the residents of Vrindavan.
It's so frightening.
And they're calling out, "Oh Krishna, 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 Krishna."
How will they win?
Oh, something wonderful.